Let's have a word of prayer before we jump into hope. Heavenly Father, as we enter into this Advent season, as we begin this four-week journey, we pray for your peace, we pray for your grace, we pray for your mercy. Father, we pray for your justice upon our hearts and our minds. Lord, as we have gathered into this place, we bring a lot of baggage with us. We bring a lot of joys and hurts. A lot of unmet expectations, a lot of uncertainty that's what's to come. And Father, I pray that beginning now and for the next few weeks as we look at these four gifts of Christmas, we pray that it would just be just an hour of our week where we can begin to focus on you, where we can lay our anxieties, we can lay these expectations at your feet. That you would fill us with your presence, with your spirit, and that we would respond accordingly. In Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen. As you go today, back on the welcome table are these little invitation cards. We still have a few more weeks. This is our invitation for this Advent series in the next 4 weeks. I encourage you to grab one, even if you've done it already, to grab a few more and to continue to invite people. To hear these messages of hope, peace, joy, and love. That's on the welcome table as you go. Have you ever thought or felt like Charlie Brown during this time of the year? And when I talk about Charlie Brown, I'm not talking about necessarily when he tries to kick the football and Lucy pulls it out from under him, although I'm sure some of us feel that way during the Christmas time. But I'm thinking of this time of year where the Christmas decorations have been up in the stores since Halloween. And you see the trees and the wreaths and the lights. I'm talking about those Christmas songs that get stuck on your head on the way here. The Christian station 104.9, they're just 100% Christmas songs. How many of you enjoy listening to the Christmas songs on the radio? How many of you are like, not until the day of? Please. You get the lights, you get the shopping, you got the cookies. And you look around and do you ever wonder, do you ever feel like being this Charlie Brown character where you want to just yell? And maybe you don't because, you know, you have some propriety. You've got some self-worth. You want to shout out in your mind at least, isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about? Where you wanna pretend you're this judge and you go in the store and you tear down the Christmas decorations. There's that and that and that. Like, let us have Thanksgiving first at least. And then there's Thanksgiving where you spend the day giving thanks for what you have been given. And then the whole next day, the Black Friday, you go out and act as if you're not happy with what you have because you have to buy more stuff. No judgment on those of you who shop Black Friday. We all know you shop for other people. Right? So you're a giving person. Jesus loves you. Well, Charlie Brown was a popular character back in the 1960s. He's still a popular character. And in 1965, the company Coca-Cola wanted to have an event, a Christmas special that they could run their ads off of. Can you imagine that? A conglomerate, a company, wanted to have a TV show in order to run their ads so that people watching the show would buy their Coca-Cola products. They discovered this very popular artist, comic book artist named Charles Schulz, and they said, hey, your peanuts are very popular. Would it be possible to create a Christmas special using your characters, the peanuts? And Charles Schulz was fine with it. In fact, they met together, he and his producers, and they created this outline in one day of what the Charlie Brown Christmas special would look like. But Charles Schulz wasn't just your average, hey, I want to make some money off of this. He actually had some unorthodox ideas that had to fit with his special or there was no deal. For example, part of his stipulations was there has to be a jazz soundtrack. I want it to be piano-based, and I want it to be playing throughout the show. Second of all, he said, there cannot be a laugh track. And if you don't know what a laugh track is, it's this fake laughter that people push a button and they can create this laughter noise. And it was popular back in the 60s for TV shows and sitcoms, and Charles Schulz said, none of that in my show. And the third thing that was probably the most controversial was he demanded and he expected that the Bible story of the birth of Jesus had to be read during the show. And what may be the most amazing thing about this is that the Coca-Cola executives and the producers agreed to it. They're like, that's fine. Even though they felt and they thought that that would be so controversial to have the words of Scripture read during primetime TV. And whether it was controversial or not, I would say the Charlie Brown Christmas special has done pretty well for itself, as it will be continuing to run. Is it this week that it'll air? So as you've probably seen it a couple times, you know that there's this scene where Charlie Brown is surrounded by all the trappings of Christmas. He's looking for that one Christmas tree that he could call his. And everywhere he goes, as he's the caroling and the decorations, he comes up empty. And he ends up just wondering aloud, what is Christmas really about? And it's at this point that his friend Linus comes up to him and he says, I can tell you what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. And we're going to watch this clip, but before we do, there was something that I had never noticed about this clip until recently that I think is so subtle and yet so powerful. You know the character Linus. He is the character in Peanuts who's always carrying a security blanket. He's carrying the security blanket because, you know, for whatever reason, he's anxious, he's afraid, and this security blanket gives him calm, gives him this fear not mentality. That's Linus's thing. As you watch this clip, it's very subtle, but I believe the animators and Charles Schulz were very deliberate about this. He gets into the center of the stage, and as he's reciting from the Gospel of Luke, he comes to the point where the angels say, fear not. And watch what happens when, as soon as Linus says, fear not, he lets go of his security blanket. And for the rest of the recitation, he is blanketless as he is proclaiming the birth of Jesus. Fear not. And then when he's done, he picks up his blanket and he goes back to Charlie Brown. Very subtle, but I was like, it's intentional. Let's run that clip.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Did you ever notice that before? That he drops the blanket? It's just profound. And as we're speaking of hope this morning, the fact that fear not. Every time the angels showed up, they told people, fear not, be not afraid. And it was this one instant as Linus is remembering, as he's, it's almost like he's transported back to that time. He feels the hope. He feels the peace. And he doesn't need this artificial security blanket in his life. Well, in those words that Linus says to Charlie Brown, good old Chuck finds his hope. And it's from this point on in the special that Charlie Brown goes from being doubtful and cynical and just inward focused and just not happy to his focus goes outward and sharing in the Christmas spirit with those around him. So today, as we're talking about hope, I invite you to hear the same words as we enter into this season of Advent. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to unwrap four different packages, four different gifts of Christmas. It's our chance to hear the stories from the Bible, to remember the true meaning of Christmas, and then to wait in the expectation for our Savior. So the point is not going to be to tear down the trappings and the rituals and the celebrations of Christmas. That's not what we intend to do. We don't intend to dispel and give you judgment upon if you have a Christmas tree in your house or if you have Santa popping out of the chimney or everything. There's no judgment, but we're going to walk through that, surrounded by this rich heritage that we have, looking at these four gifts of Advent. So as Josh and his family shared with us, what exactly is Advent? For some here this morning, when you think of Advent, you may simply think about those crazy calendars that you get every year where you have to pop open those perforated windows and you get a treat every day. How many of you use Advent calendars during this season? Full of chocolate and things. With my sons, there's always the fight of you can only open one. And you always know that December 24th is the biggest one. You're like, you can't open that one, but just be patient and wait. So this word Advent that churches around the world celebrate, it actually means coming. It means arriving. It's a season marked with expectation. I can remember growing up, Advent, it was always exciting because you knew Christmas was just about here. Who cares about Advent? Sure, let's light the candles and everything, but you know what? Christmas is almost here. Let's focus on that. But now, being much older and much wiser in my ways, I appreciate Advent. Taking this time before the presents and waking up super early, these 4 weeks to prepare, to step back a little bit and focus on what is this? Why do we do this? Advent is not just an extension of Christmas. It's a season that links the past with the present into the future. It offers us an opportunity to share in the Advent longing of the coming Messiah, a Jewish word for Savior. We call him Jesus, where we celebrate his birth, and we are alert, and we are aware, and we are in waiting for his second coming. Advent looks back upon the birth of Jesus in celebration, while at the same time we're eagerly anticipating what he will do now and what he will do in the future. Jesus is a hope fulfilled, while also a hope still to be completed. As part of the church calendar in many denominations, there are many different ways that churches celebrate Advent. In our particular flavor, we do this with the Advent candle and the Advent wreath, where every Sunday we will have a different family come up and light subsequent candles. And again, you just can't wait. You're like, get to the pink one already. You just can't wait for it to end. So as we light each candle and each flame brings us closer to the Christ candle in the center, the white candle, it brings us closer to the true light of the world that John called him, born in Bethlehem. So in the season marked with frenzied busyness, where it seems like you can't get enough shopping done and you just get so sick and tired of people, Advent is an opportunity to set aside time, this time, every Sunday morning, to prepare our hearts, to help us place our focus on a far greater story than our own, to almost resemble and reflect Charlie Brown, instead of focusing on ourselves and our complaints and our letdowns, but to focus outside of ourselves on Jesus' story, the story that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. It's not a season of pretending. It's not a season of covering over, but it's a season of digging deep into reality of what this is. So wherever you are in your own situation, whether you're a seasoned Christian who's seen many Advents come and go, whether you're brand new and you're curious, what exactly is it? Am I supposed to do something different here? I invite you into this time that allows for questions. It allows for doubts. It allows for discussion as we take this time to prepare our hearts for Christ's coming. Another area of clarification: Advent is not a celebration that God comes to fix things. Whether you get upset that your computer is broken because of too many Christmas pictures, or because you have broken families that this time of year just tears you in two, Advent is simply a celebration that God comes. He enters into this life of ours, this world of ours that we have created for ourselves. He comes in the darkness. He comes in the pain. He comes in the chaos. And when he comes, he makes a way for us to follow him. So as we go through these 4 weeks, my hope is that we discover together to trust in what the ancient prophets named Jesus as: Emmanuel, God with us, that we would trust that God is, in fact, with us in this time. So the first Sunday, we focus on hope. And what does it mean when you think of hope? What kind of statements come to mind? How do you often or regularly use the word hope in a sentence? Here are some examples that maybe you identify with. I hope it doesn't rain. At this time of year in central Ohio, we could say, I hope it doesn't ice on the roads. I hope I get that job. Oh, I hope he gets better. How many of us say, wow, I hope she comes. I hope she shows up. I don't want to be stood up here. Do you catch a theme in how we tend to use the word hope in a sentence? At least with these that we have up on the screen here, it's worldly hope is characterized by doubt, by uncertainty. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to rain, whether the weatherman says it or not. You know, weathermen, that may be the one job that you can be wrong so many times and yet still have a job. Because like, oh, that's fine. You'll get the next one. I don't know. But it's marked by this uncertainty. It's characterized by a lack of control. We really don't have control over these statements where we say, I hope. The Buckeyes don't go to the Big Ten Championship, so there's a chance that they will go to the playoffs, because if they go to the championship game, then they might lose, and then they're completely out. There's no control over that. It's uncertainty. We hope for things that may or may not happen. I hope I get this specific present this year. Despite all your nagging and dropping hints, you really can't control, unless you go out and buy it yourself. You have no control over whether you get that or not. But in Jesus, in the biblical example of hope that we're looking at today, it's not, the hope of Jesus is not a maybe so. I don't know. It's actually more of a no so. The hope found in Jesus is a sure thing. So let's look at three examples of hope that we find. The first one is hope past. If you're taking notes in the back of your bulletin, you can write these things down. Hope past, meaning hope from years ago. Let me ask this question to think about hope past. What is the longest you've ever waited for something? Think about it. This is a time where you can shout it out to me. What is the longest you've ever waited for anything? Some of you could say 9 months, right? You've waited 9 months for certain things. What else? What's the longest you've ever waited for something? 35 years. Very good. I mean, not so, maybe not so very good. But what else? How long have you waited for things? A week? Some students may be thinking, 6 hours? If you're at a fast food restaurant, the waiting is you shouldn't be waiting at all. The longest you've ever waited. Forgive me, ladies, for what I'm about to say. How many of you fellas have ever gone shopping with your significant other, spouse, girlfriend, mother, whatever, and you go to a store in your car, and the lady says, "I won't be long. I'll be right back." And you sit in that car, and you feel like the people of Israel and Egypt. "I've been waiting here 450 years. How long does it take to get candy corn?" Right? Hear me. I am not speaking from experience, so no looking at Alita, no, nothing of that sort, but you've all been there, right? Maybe some ladies have been like that, where you've gone to the store, you've gone to Lowe's or Home Depot, and the guy says, "I just need to look at one thing." And they come back 30 minutes later, and they've got arms full of tools, and you're like, "What in the world have you done? What's the longest you've waited for something?" Is there anything that you have waited your entire life for? You're still waiting for that. The people of Israel knew all about waiting. Their entire history, as you read in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament and the supplemental writings of the time, you read about a people who wait. Wait for rescue. Wait for redemption. Wait for their Savior to come. The history of Israel is marked with looking forward. When will our Savior come? The Old Testament is full of prophecies about this Messiah. In Isaiah chapter 7, we read this. The prophet Isaiah says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign." This is the sign. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Waiting. How many years was it until this came to fruition? Another well-known prophecy from Isaiah says this, "For to us a child is born, for to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." The people of Israel grasped onto these words from Isaiah. Just waiting. Waiting for this person. These and other prophecies, they gave a clear expectation of God's promised deliverer, promised Savior, promised Messiah, hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus. Imagine that, waiting your entire life and still not seeing that come. Are you willing to hold on to that hope? Because you see, even though these words from God through his prophets gave people hope, it doesn't make waiting any easier, does it? Who likes to wait for things? I'm thinking of going to the doctor's office, and you have to wait in the waiting room. And if you don't wait, you'll get penalized because you caused the doctor to be late. Never mind that the doctor can make you wait 3 hours. No offense to any physicians in here or potential physicians. We don't like to wait, do we? As we prepare for Jesus' coming this Christmas, we share in the waiting of the people of Israel. And like them, most of us in this room are in situations, have circumstances surrounding us that make it difficult to wait on God, don't we? Maybe we have these thoughts some days where, God, if only you would fix this, or God, if only you would take this away, or God, if only you would answer this prayer sooner rather than later. I trust you, I love you, but man, this waiting, if I have to be honest, I just don't like your time frame for my life. Like them, like the people of Israel, we still wait for the complete fulfillment of God's salvation of the entire world, of the entire created world. Many prophecies were fulfilled when Jesus was born and when he lived his life and when he was killed and when he was resurrected. Many prophecies were fulfilled then, but there are many yet to be completed. And so we wait. So what can purposeful waiting this Advent season do for us? As we look back at hope past and see that God does fulfill his promises in the birth of Jesus, we can gain a confidence. We can gain a renewal of our faith. The author of Hebrews writes this. He says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and it is assurance about what we do not see." This is our hope. We have faith in this because God is faithful. He answered these prophecies. He will fulfill his work. We can find confidence that Jesus did come. We will celebrate his birth in a few weeks. We have this hope and this faith in what he has done in our lives this far. I've said it before, and I'll probably say it a few more times. He's brought you here. You are alive. You are here. That is an answer to prayer, that God is with you. Whatever your week was, whatever your weekend's been, whatever fears and uncertainty lies ahead, God is with you here in every beating of your heart. But we can also have this assurance that there is so much more to come. That statement that God will complete what he began in you. We trust in this. We hope in this. So let this season of Advent be a journey of building and reinforcing this confident hope that we have in Jesus, that he is who he says he is, and he will do what he promised he said he would do. That's hope past. How about hope present? The first chapter of Luke, we see Jesus' birth foretold again. Unlike the Old Testament prophecies from Isaiah, we get something a little bit more personal in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, and this is what it says here. "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel. 'Since I am a virgin.' And the angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born, will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth,' the angel says, 'even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is currently in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail.'" Let me read this again. "For no word of God will ever fail. Hope. Hope for us today. And Mary answered, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. So after reading and hearing stories like this, and perhaps you read this during the Christmas morning before you open gifts, how many of you ever find yourself wishing and asking God, could you send Gabriel to my house? Not necessarily to pronounce pregnancy news, but just to give me some answers? Just to give me some insight. Do you ever, in the midst of life's questions, and come on, let's admit it, we all have life questions. Do we ever find ourselves saying, oh man, if I could only experience what Mary experienced. Just give me some kind of sign of what I can expect in this coming year. Wouldn't it be easier just to know? Maybe. Maybe God has his reasons why he doesn't want us to know fully at this point. Maybe that's why he calls us to live by faith. In Mary's case, perhaps it would have been easier not to know. I mean, what do you do with this kind of information? Mary, you haven't consummated marriage yet, but guess what? You're going to be with child. How do you explain that? Joseph, you're not going to believe this. And we know from Joseph, he was thinking, how do I get out of this? How do I not bring shame upon her family and my family? I mean, he was thinking these thoughts of this is unreal. I'm not sure what to do. Mary was given a direct message from the angel Gabriel. But even then, even with that direct message, God's word never fails. Even then, it took Mary, it took faith for Mary to place her trust and hope in God. So thankfully, Mary responded in faith and held fast to that hope. And Emmanuel, God with us, was born. So today, as we begin Advent, we know and hold fast to that hope because we know what happens 30-some years later. Jesus came to make a way for us to be in a relationship with God. And it's his resurrection that the power of God over death provides that ultimate defeat of what we fear. Through his forgiveness of our sins, his coming, this birth of Jesus, this birth of Emmanuel, changes everything about our outlook, about our responses to this season. As you sit here, this present hope that we have in Jesus, it may not seem to change things, right? I mean, you're sitting here and you've just heard the words that the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus has changed everything. But you could be sitting here and you're thinking, yeah, but Pastor, I still have this going on. It's not gone. I still have this that's coming up. I still have this question that isn't answered. I still have this illness that hasn't gone away. So we still have this unseen experience of change. But my words of hope to you today are that just because it doesn't seem to be changing doesn't mean that change is not happening. Many times, I bet we could have testimony after testimony, people coming up and sharing things they weren't aware of, but in hindsight, looking back, they see, oh, so this is why. So this happened, and I was not completely aware of it. Just because we don't seem to be aware of the changes, it doesn't mean that God isn't working behind the scenes, and he loves to work behind the scenes. I've heard it said, God does some of his best work while you and I are sleeping. You ever thought about that? Where we get out of his way? It doesn't mean that God isn't working inside other people and maneuvering other situations for his glory. in ways that we cannot fathom at this period of time. It doesn't mean that he's not working inside of our hearts to teach or to shape us. Regardless of what the outcome looks like at any given moment, you and I can find hope in what the author of Hebrews says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and strong, in Hebrews 6. Our present hope in Jesus does not stop the storms of life. And that may be really hard for us to hear today. The hope in Jesus right now does not stop the storms of life, because we still get hit by them. It does not change the immediate situations that we face, but like an anchor on a ship that is held steady during the wind, during the waves, our hope holds us firm amidst these waves and winds of life, these unforeseen smacks that we didn't see coming, that hurt so much. So with hope present, let this season be one of secure hope, whatever storms may come. And finally, a hope in the future. While our focus leading up to Christmas naturally is focused on the birth of Jesus and his arrival into the world, Advent is also about the future. The people of Israel celebrated the celebrations and the rescue past, but they also looked forward to the ultimate fruition of rescue. It's not just about preparing our hearts for Christmas, but it's also about preparing our hearts and the hearts around us for Jesus' second coming, for his return. And you may find that waiting for Jesus to return a second time is much more harder than waiting for Christmas. Some of you may be saying, and maybe you found yourself saying this, Jesus, if you could just come right now, I wouldn't complain. One of the things that I have done, and whether it's heretical or not, I'm not sure, but I believe I have made a deal with God. And that deal is that Jesus is going to return before Garrett starts to date. I think I've made myself perfectly clear. God, this is what's going to happen. I don't want to go through that. Those trials and those tribulations of dating. I went through it once myself. I don't want to go through it with my kids. So if you could come before he starts fancying girls, I will pat you on the back. If that's heretical, you can come and tell me afterwards. Or maybe we could pray together, thinking of our grandkids and kids. But thinking of Jesus' second coming, how many of us long for the time when everything will be restored, where God's justice will be made ultimate reality? Sometimes that could be scary because we're afraid of what God's justice means for us, but in Jesus we have this hope that his justice brings security, has this hope for the world around us. We experience the pain, we experience suffering of today, and we wait in eager hope for the future. Jesus, if you would just come, we pray for your coming. We pray for your ultimate rescue. And that is where our hope lies, in this baby who was born in Bethlehem. We have this hope that baby who grew up to be a man who died on a cross for our sins to restore the world to God's order will return once and for all. And so we wait. We wait, placing our hope in him for the past, in him and hope for our present and what we're currently going through, and hope in him for the future. It's such a bigger picture of our faith and of God's plan for our world. The Apostle Paul, he writes this to the Romans in Romans chapter 8. He says, "For in this hope we were saved. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait patiently. Do we? May we wait patiently. And like Angry Cat a few slides earlier, it is hard to be patient. It is hard to wait. But this morning I urge you to lean in, unwrap this gift of Christmas of hope. And where you walk around in the coming weeks, no matter what the department stores tell you, no matter what the radio stations are trying to influence you, Christmas has not arrived yet. It's not Christmas yet. We're in the season of Advent. We are in the season of anticipation. And this first gift is hope, preparing, waiting, expectation. May this season of wonder, as you discover the gifts of Jesus offering to you, may they be gifts of hope. May they be gifts of love and joy and peace. And come back next week as we unpack the second one. Will you stand with me as we close? As we finish up, as we go to the Lord in prayer, I want to do an active response as a way of us to physically declare something without any fear of what people may think, because I have a feeling it may be a great number of us. How many of you are in this season, you have something that you hope for? Raise your hand. That you're in a season of hope, whatever it is. Keep your hands up as we pray, as a way of declaring, God, I have these things that I hope for, whether it's a hope in Jesus, whether it's a hope in some earthly thing. But we want to declare as a people of Gilead Friends, God, see us. We are a people of hope. Heavenly Father, as we pray this morning, as we have explored this word of hope, I pray that you would go before us, that you would send your Spirit into our minds and into our hearts this week, that you would encourage us as people of hope to hold on secure to this faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that we look back into the past as God fulfilled his promise to send the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, that we can hold on to that, that Jesus' word, that God's word never fails, that we hold on to that at the very beginning. And that as we continue on to this week, anticipating this Advent season, that you would go before us as we look into this current situation, current circumstance that we find ourselves in, and that we would hold on this anchor of hope within our lives, that the God who sent Jesus is the same God today watching out for each and every one of us and our kids and our family members and our friends and our coworkers. And then ultimately, God, we have this hope that you will return at some point. And it's not dependent upon our prayers. It's not dependent upon our timelines or when we think we can discern the times and the events. It's based solely on you. And so we stand here with our hands raised, declaring we are a people of hope. We trust in you. If you're here this morning and you have not yet made a decision to trust in this Jesus, I ask that you would make that decision right now, that you would say, Jesus, of all my past and all of my errors, I trust in you. I trust you and your hope for my life this Christmas season, this season of Advent and waiting. If you're here and you need to rededicate, that you found yourself off the train track, as it were, that you would rededicate your life and say, Jesus, in the times of doubts and questions, I've gone astray. Please be a presence in my life. That I wouldn't necessarily look to you to fix all the problems in my life, but I would look to you to be with me, to be that Emmanuel during this time. We pray this in Jesus' name. We give you the thanks and you the glory. Amen. Amen. Thank you. God be with you. Be a people of hope this week. You're dismissed.